Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday night, and that means it's time for another episode of Stunt Treks with V. Leslie Hoffman and Uncle Jim. How you doing tonight, Leslie?
Oh, I'm doing fine. We've had interesting weather. Yesterday it was 50 degrees, but tonight it's snowing again. It's getting cold.
Yeah.
So you never know.
We had the same thing here. We went for a little trip down to Saratoga yesterday, and it was almost 60 degrees down there. It was 56. Beautiful. It was like a spring day. The birds were chirping. Just had on a light jacket. And now it's snowing. I don't get
right.
It. Man, that's some weird, weird weather. Very weird weather.
Yeah.
So let's start off with a little bit of housekeeping. I just want to say that Ireland, our Irish listeners have been jumping on board like crazy, and Ireland just jumped up to the third space on our listeners list around the globe. I know we don't do the countdown of listeners on this show. We do it on Trek Talking on Thursday night, but the numbers include all of our podcasts, so I don't know exactly what podcast people are listening to. I just know that people in Ireland are tuning in droves. And so,
wow.
You know, it's my way of saying thank you to you guys in Ireland. I have an autographed Lieutenant Arian picture from Star Trek Discovery, and I want to give it to you. It's my way of saying thank you for your support. And but you got to work for it. You got to message us. That's all you have to do. You can go to Leslie Hoffman Appreciation Organization on Facebook and shoot us a message to say, hey, I just heard your podcast. I'm listening from Ireland and you won. Or you can go to Trek Talking and Beyond on Facebook and do the same thing. Just shoot me a message to say, hey, Uncle Jim, I'm from Ireland. I listen to the show, blah, blah, blah. Give me your address. And the first person from Ireland that does that will win an autographed Lieutenant Arium picture. It's that simple. It's my way of saying thank you. It's a nice full-color photo of her. It's Sarah Mitch from season one. So please, if you're listening from Ireland, and I know people are, just shoot us a message. Leslie Hoffman Appreciation Organization Facebook page, which represents this podcast, Stunt Treks, or Trek Talking and Beyond, which obviously is Trek Talking. Shoot me a message at either one of those two Facebook pages, and I'll drop this autographed picture in the mail because, hey, we love having fans, and you guys, without you guys, there'd be no point in doing the show, right, Leslie?
I love doing the show.
Yeah, so that's just our way of saying thank you. So shoot us a message, and I'll send you a picture. Very simple. It's a really nice photo, too. So anyways, something else I want a little bit more housekeeping. We were lucky enough to get our hands on 10 tickets to the Star Trek Picard red carpet premiere in Los Angeles, California, tomorrow night from 6:30 to 9:30 California time, which is what, 9:30 to midnight our time, the 3 hours behind us, right? Yeah, the 3 hours behind us.
3 hours behind, right.
So, and Eric and Charles are going to be there. Eric's plane will be landing in about an hour. He'll be there. Eric is already out there. Mark Lee, Shin Favar, and Victoria Fox are the other winners, and they're already there, and they're going to be hanging out and having some dinner and getting to meet each other. Oddly enough, I've never met any of our other podcasters, except for Leslie. I've never met Eric. I've never met Charles. We've been doing this podcast for 3 years, but we're all on different coasts, so we never get to meet. So I'm really excited that they're going to get to meet each other finally, and they're going to be at Star Trek Picard. Now, Thursday on Trek Talking and Beyond, we're going to have Benny Hall on from he's a Star Trek fan film producer. And then we're going to hear stories from the red carpet premiere from not only Eric and Charles, but our other winners who are there. And who knows, they might give us some spoilers on the show because they're going to see the first two episodes. So we're going to be talking about Star Trek Picard, and they're going to be sharing their insights and thoughts on it. And maybe they'll tell us a thing or two about what they saw and what we can expect. So that's Thursday night. You don't want to miss that. Trek Talking and Beyond, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So you want to tune in for that. And that's pretty much all the housekeeping I had to get out of the way before we started. While Leslie and I, Ken won't be joining us. He's a little under the weather. He apologizes for that, but he'll try to make it next week. So you're stuck with just me and Leslie. But that's okay, because time flies. So Leslie sent me a text and said, hey, I've got an idea for a show. How about we talk about things that Star Trek predicted in the 60s that became reality? Like technology, mostly stuff that was science fiction, but is now reality. And I said, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about the things that Star Trek predicted, or that Star Trek invented, that were totally science fiction at the time, but that we take for granted today because it's realistic, and things that we actually use in our everyday lives that Star Trek say we would. So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. I don't think we're going to find a way to pull Planet of the Apes into anything. Who knows? Maybe, but...
We'll figure out a way to do it.
Yeah, something will come up and we'll figure it out. So the phone number here, as usual, is 646-668-2433. I'll say that one more time. You guys should have this in your speed dial. So, you know, you just speed dial and call us. It's the same number for all of our shows, 646-668-2433. So whether you want to call us and talk to us about war games when we do tabletop gaming on the War Room, or whether it's Comic Corner, whether it's Stunt Trek, or whether it's Trek Talking, the same great number, 646-668-2433. Put it in your memory, put it in your speed dial, and call often, because we love to interact with you guys. We love to hear from our fans and our listeners. So, Star Trek.
Actually, Planet of the Apes was just on in the last week or so. And when you were saying, well, how do we fit it in there? What comes to mind real quickly is when Charlton Heston is trying to, he still can't talk yet, but he's trying to tell Cornelius and Zira that he flew, and it just was a concept that the apes never thought about, and he makes that paper airplane and throws it, and, you know, it floats on the air, and it was like, you remember that scene? I mean, it was like, how can that be? How did that thing just float?
Yes, I do remember that scene. And then Dr. Zaius crinkles it up and says, it's heresy, and he throws it away.
Oh, yeah. He took the plane and went crush. That was the end of the...
Crinkled it up. Now, before we start, though, before we get started, the world of Star Trek suffered another loss, and Leslie wanted to take a moment to remember the people that we lost today. So I'll let Leslie jump in here, say a few words.
Well, actually, about, what was it, a week ago or 2 weeks ago, we lost a makeup artist whose name was Joe Podner. And much to our surprise, we just lost another makeup artist, and his name was Sonny Berman. And if you look on my page or Ten Ford or a couple of the Star Trek pages, I've listed all the credits, and he did like 30 episodes on Deep Space Nine, and I was looking at the titles, and I can't say that he put on makeup on me, but like I say, definitely episodes that I worked, he was the makeup artist, or he was one of many of the makeup artists.
So, Leslie, before we move on, I just wanted to ask you, when you're working on a show, we'll use Star Trek Deep Space Nine because that's what we're talking about right now, and they have makeup and say they want to have a bunch of Bajorans. I don't remember what episode it is we're talking about, but let's say that you're going to be a Bajoran. And does the head makeup artist go around and show everybody how to do the makeup and approve it, or do they have teams that go and do it all and the head makeup artist just oversees everything? How do they actually do that?
There's actually a team. Actually, if you were to go to, I listed his nominations and wins for Emmys, and you'll see a list of at least 10 people, you know, being named, like Westmore and so you would have what I would call the main team. You might have a second group that, you know, if they know that they have a lot to do, they may be called in. But I've told this story before. There's been times that they've had so many people that they've brought in makeup people who really don't know how to put on the prosthetics, and where you're supposed to, the best scenario I can say is spot weld, is you spot glue around the forehead to put the prosthetics on. But this one makeup artist who had no idea how to do it just put glue straight across my forehead. And they might as well have used super glue. I mean, this thing wasn't coming off. You know, it definitely stayed on during the day. But they basically couldn't get it off of my head that night. I mean, it probably took them longer to remove the prosthetic than what this person did to put it on my forehead. But, well, no. So the answer is, well, let's put it this way. You definitely have the top people doing the main cast. I mean, if it's a episode that day, maybe you only have two of the main cast and some stunt people, you might have the top people putting on makeup on the stunt people or the day player or something like that. I mean, it varies from day to day, episode to episode, but there is a team.
All right, cool. So yeah. Let's dive right in and talk about things to come. How does that sound?
Well, actually, I have one more thing that I just think is kind of interesting. I don't know if you read about this, is that Burt Ward, who played Robin on Batman, got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame finally. It only took 50 years, but I think that's kind of cool that a group finally is honoring Robin. I guess Adam West didn't necessarily. I can't remember what year they said that he got his star, but I think it's nice. Television compared to movies is fairly new, and actually I found it kind of nice that they honored Burt Ward. I don't know how many, if you said the name Burt Ward, I don't know how many people would recognize that name, but and the star is right next to Adam West's star, so Batman and Robin are, well, Burt Ward is still alive, but Batman and Robin are together on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
As it should be, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was very appropriate. Anyway, so, that's the end of my tidbit
of our house cleaning. So Star Trek, well, actually, that's a perfect segue because, like Leslie said, Star Trek is newer than movies, but Star Trek did predict something in the future, which we're going through right now. There was an episode of TNG. What was it called? The Neutral Zone. I can't believe I remember that. Where they find three frozen people from the past that had diseases that couldn't be cured, and they were frozen to be cured in the future. And ta-da, they were. Well, one of the guys gets out and freezes, and he wants to turn on the television and see the evening news, to which Data says, television doesn't exist anymore. And Star Trek predicted that during this next generation. And although television does exist today, we are seeing a lot, including new Star Trek, on streaming services and not available on network television. And I think that trend is going to continue and continue and continue until eventually network TV doesn't exist anymore. It'll be like 8-tracks and radio. And wired telephones. It just won't exist because everything will be streaming. And we're on the cusp of that right now, and that was predicted on Star Trek. So that I just wanted to throw that out there because Star Trek Picard, which airs on the 23rd, which is next Thursday, is only available on streaming. So streaming is one of those things.
Right.
Yeah, actually, there's a lot of things. Leslie, why don't we start? Let's jump right in. Let's start with the most obvious one, communications, right?
Right.
So William Shatner would flip open his communicator and say, "Scotty, 3 to beam up," and they'd beam up. The first cell phone that I ever owned was a flip phone, and it looked exactly like a communicator from Star Trek. You think that's a coincidence?
I don't think so.
I don't think so at all. I mean, I think that art imitates life and life imitates art. And I think that Star Trek hit such a chord with people that when they watched Star Trek and they were so moved and their imagination was so stimulated that people actually went to create the things that they saw on Star Trek. And a communicator and a flip phone is just one of the many things that we're going to discuss tonight. Well, so what else comes to mind, Leslie? Anything pop into your mind as far as communications that we saw on Star Trek that's commonplace today?
Well, some people are very imaginative when, I mean, you know, we get these early calls and then they don't film the stunt until, you know, we get a 6 a.m. call and we might be lucky if they film the stunt at 6 p.m. So you know, we're dressed up as Starfleet and just, you know, you got to do something. You got to amuse yourself during the day. So we would have our comm badges on our Starfleet uniforms. I don't know. My comm badge, every time I hit it, the line was busy. You know, I'd hit it like beep, 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 beep. Oh, well. Or I would hit it and go, this number is no longer in service. Oh, well.
A busy signal. Oh, boy.
But the other thing about, you know, with the communicator, it's also like Bluetooth is, I'm talking to you through my computer. So I've dialed a phone number, but like I say, I'm talking to you through my computer. Maybe that's not exactly Bluetooth, but you didn't need to be plugged into anything for your comm badge, for your communicator. I mean, it was Bluetooth before anyone decided to call it Bluetooth or wireless.
And not only that, not only are you and I talking to each other through the internet in two different states, you're up in New York, I'm here in Vermont. But there's people around the globe that are listening to us talking right now that might be in Ireland. That's a little hint, guys. You need to drop me a note to win an autographed picture. Or Germany or Scotland or, you know, anywhere around the world listening to what we're saying right now. And beyond that, if they're not listening to us live right now, they'll be able to download this show and listen to it anytime they want from any device they want. That's pretty incredible too, if you think about it.
Yeah. You know, one thing I didn't write down and along with the cell phone is, well, computers and iPads as well. You know, Janice Wren, you know, she would have that whatever, that rectangle thing that, you know, she'd have Kirk sign it or something like that. And to me, that was probably something as close to an iPad. But again, back then, you know, it was just this thing that she had that, you know, here, sign this. Oh, well, in fact, now that's an interesting thing. It's like stores or hospitals, you know, they want a signature, and well, in this case, you do take a fake pen, because it isn't ink, but you know, you sign your name on this pad, and it transfers to the computer.
Yeah, and actually, if you think about it, the triangular view screen in the middle of Captain Kirk's ready room or staff meeting room, and the computer that Captain Picard has on his desk are pretty much the precursors to what we would call laptops today. Those became reality, and the PADD, the pad that you always saw Data walking around with, or Dr. Crusher, or maybe Geordi, is actually what we would call an iPad today. They kept the same name. It's an iPad. And on Star Trek, it was a PADD. And that became reality. They have those. You can go right into Walmart and buy an iPad. Same thing that you would have seen on Star Trek in the 80s. You can actually buy in a store right now. Became a reality.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You know.
And then, well, I kind of put this under communication, but it was interesting because I feel like in the original series, you know, they had, they microchipped themselves. They were going down to the planet, but they wanted to make sure that the ship knew where they were. And so they had a chip inserted in their wrist area, if I remember correctly, which, you know, well, you definitely do it to animals nowadays. I don't know if they're doing it to children or they're only talking about doing it to children. But again, 1960s, you never would think of putting a chip in somebody to be able to locate them. Actually,
no, you're
something
right.
Something I just read is that for people with dementia, I don't think they want to put the chip actually in the person. The article I read was that they were putting, it almost looked like a Dr. Scholl's soul insert, but it's a tracking device for, you know, if someone with dementia were to wander off, you could actually locate them. So
yeah,
that's something new that's happening. Yet that was something, you know, like I say, locating people in the late 60s. I mean, who would have thought?
And Star Trek the Motion Picture, if you remember, when they didn't use the foot communicators on Star Trek the Motion Picture, what they had was they had a communicator on their wrist that would read their vital signs and everything else on their wrist. And today they have the Fitbit wristwatch that you wear that tells you how many steps you took, what your pulse is,
right,
all these different things, which was, we saw in Star Trek the Motion Picture way back in 1979. And now you can buy them in the store.
Right.
Pretty cool.
Right. So, talking about communications, I mean, we've kind of talked about computers. I mean, nowadays, it's like everybody has either their own personal computer or laptop. I mean, I don't know how many people still have even desktops. It seems like people, because you can take a laptop anywhere you're going and use it. And now you have the smartphones that are basically computers as well. I mean, you can Google on the phone, so you don't even really need a laptop per se. Going back to the original Star Trek, I remember when they were doing a printout and... And in the late 60s, they thought this was very futuristic. The printout was actually, I don't know what you call that, the paper that had the holes on either side of it.
Yep, that was the old-fashioned computer paper.
Right, but that was futuristic. I don't remember if it's... Where No Man Has Gone Before episode or but definitely Spock has a printout and like I say this piece of paper comes out of the I'm losing it. You know, like I say, well, he does a printout and this piece of paper comes out of the bridge area Which actually, well, that makes me, so, you know, they had the little square,
data disk.
Yeah, the data stuff, you know, supposedly that was storing data on that. Well, we're way beyond that now. I mean,
I don't even think,
you know,
they don't,
memory sticks and.
Do they even make floppy disks anymore? I don't think they even make them anymore.
I don't think so, because I don't think there's, unless you have an antique computer, there's no computer that has. My computer right now, my previous computer had a combination CD, DVD drive. The computer that I'm talking to you on right now doesn't even have that anymore. CDs and DVDs, even though they're still around, they really are the thing of the past. I mean, as you say, it's streaming. If you want to see a movie, you stream it. You don't put a DVD into a slot in the side of your computer anymore.
Nope. Like it's total. But you're right, though. In some aspects, we've actually passed Star Trek. In some instances,
yeah.
And in fact, yep. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and computers talk nowadays. You know, you have Siri or Alexa. Again, the idea of late 1960s that a computer would talk to you or would understand enough that it could answer you back. I mean, unfortunately, you call up phone companies or doctor's office and you get these computer loops, you know. In order to get you to the right department, please say in so many words.
Press one for this guy, press two for that guy.
I understand you.
You know, it's funny. We were talking about this at dinner tonight, and my wife and I were telling Jamie, because Jamie just bought a new computer and had to set it all up, and it was the same thing. Thumbprint, voice verification, voice commands, all this stuff. And we were talking about how way, way back in the early days, when computers first came out, everything was DOS. And you had to put the computer, you had to dial the phone and put it on the modem and it go, it would squeak and squeal for Christ 3 minutes before it connected. And when it connected, you couldn't watch videos and send pictures. It was all just typed messages, and you'd have to type out the entire address to send a message. It wasn't like it is today, and we definitely didn't have cell phones. You wanted to talk on the phone, you had to get a cord and be like 5-10 feet from your phone. My daughter says, "My God, that's archaic, Dad. How did you survive like that?"
Oh, yeah, no, My first computer was definitely connected to the phone line. So that's the other thing, depending on how long you were on the computer. If someone, you know, was trying to get hold of you desperately, it was busy because you were on the computer.
We didn't have call waiting, call forwarding, and all that stuff. If you were on the internet, it was busy. Done.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. But yeah, computers, I think, are one of the biggest things that Star Trek predicted, that pretty much are everywhere. Now, interesting enough is on Star Trek, they have the holodeck. Now, we kind of, not exactly like you see it on Star Trek, but we do kind of have holodecks in VR to some extent. Not exactly Star Trek, but it's very, very, very close to what you see on Star Trek.
Or definitely the glasses or the goggles. I'm not sure what you... If there's a certain name for it, but the virtual reality, like you put those goggles on and it's like you're in the Louvre in France. I mean, you're walking around the museum you know, again, it's amazing how far we've progressed.
Yeah, I played a VR Star Wars game that my nephews had hooked up to their computer, and you put the glasses on and the gloves and stuff. And it was a simple one where you're on the Millennium Falcon and TIE fighters attack, and you got to fix the Millennium Falcon. But once you put the gloves on and you put the mask on, you can literally walk around the Millennium Falcon and look at all the stuff that's on the ship. You can reach out and interact with some of the things. And Han Solo and Chewbacca will talk to you and tell you what to do when you go and do it. And it was the coolest. It was the coolest thing to actually be in Star Wars. And that I can only imagine when we catch up to Star Trek and you don't need to wear any gear. You just walk into a room that's outfitted with all the projectors and you're just there. I mean, we're not quite at that stage yet, but I do think that the VR is equivalent to a holodeck. I would say that for sure.
I have a feeling you and I will be around to see a holodeck. I mean, as you say, it's so close. It isn't like we're talking like in the next 50 years it might happen. I think we're talking less than 10 years, maybe even less than 5 years that we're going to see a holodeck.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that technology is just over the next hill. It's right there. It's so close. Now, what about replicators?
Well, we haven't really replicated food yet, but I was thinking about the 3D printers. And I mean that is so amazing that, you know, I haven't seen one firsthand in action, but you know they're replicating even legs and arms for people, amputees. But you know you could, as far as I understand, let's say you had a little toy train. And I don't know if it's that you take a picture of it or the computer somehow scans the original. And then I don't know if it's sort of a plastic or what the material is. And it'll make a perfect duplicate of it.
Yeah, it's amazing technology. And it literally comes right from Star Trek. I mean, replicators, that's what you're doing. You're creating a three-dimensional usable image out of the air. Now, granted, 3D printers take days to produce something because it's such new technology. But I'm pretty sure the time will come when it'll be just like Star Trek. And you say, you know, I want an X-Wing. And it just shows that it seconds, it produces it, and there it is for you. But, yeah, you have to have programs. You have to put the program in the computer and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. And when it comes out, you have to clean it up a little bit and whatnot. But I'm pretty sure the day is going to come where you will get perfect replicas using 3D printing. And I'm sure that 3D printing, as technology goes and it's cutting edge, I'm pretty sure that they're going to refine that and refine it and refine it to the point where you look at today's 3D printers and you'll laugh because they'll seem so obsolete and archaic compared to what we will have in the future.
Right. Well, this is kind of stretching it a little bit, but you know, like where Picard would say, I may be missing a few words, but you know, Earl Grey tea hot, isn't that a microwave sort of? I mean, I realize that the replicator is creating the tea, but to make it hot, that would be a microwave.
Yeah, you're right. Yes. Yep. I mean, we could just go on and on and on with all the because a lot of the stuff that you see, you take it for granted because it's, you see it so much that you don't think about it because you just assume it's there. But there's a lot of things on Star Trek that we see that are in everyday occurrences in our lives today that, that are, you know, like, for instance, I can get a program called Dragon Speak, and I can speak in English, and it will speak in Klingon. And what do they call that on Star Trek? When you do that.
Uh-oh.
It's a universal translator.
Okay, yeah. No, that...
Yeah.
Right.
And,
in
and,
fact, they... It's yeah. my understanding that they even have like a little pad or something that a tourist can carry, and let's say you're in France or Spain or something, and the other person talks into it, and it translates it into English. I mean, I'm assuming it works in the other direction that. Then the person who speaks English needs to say something to the person in Spanish. You know, again, I haven't seen one firsthand, so I don't quite understand how it, well, again, I guess it's like when you call up the phone company or whatever, and, you know, in so many words, can you tell us, you know, what department you need to speak to? So, I mean, if you're saying to someone, you don't know Spanish, but you're trying to ask a Spanish person, you know, where is the closest restaurant, I guess this machine must translate it. Now, I don't know whether it actually speaks or it just translated, well, that I know definitely exists on the computer right now, is that you can type a sentence in English. There are different sites that, you know, you choose, let's say, English to Spanish or English to French, even English to Russian. I mean, whatever language you want it to be. And you can type in, you know, like I say, where is the closest restaurant? And again, the laptop will translate it into whatever language you need it to be in.
And speaking of that...
So, yeah, we have a universal translator. We just don't have any Klingons at the moment. Or I shouldn't say that. We have Klingons.
yes, we do. On Deep Space Nine.
Excuse me. I apologize. We definitely have Klingons.
If you recall the episode Little Green Men on Deep Space Nine, Deep Space Nine answered that one glaring question that every Star Trek fan has asked since the beginning of time, and that is, how come every alien race that we meet speaks English? And the answer is, they don't. If you remember the episode Little Green Men when Quark, Robin, and Nog crashed on Earth in 1941, and Odo comes to rescue them, Quark says that his universal translator must be out of whack, and they all have little chips implanted below their earlobe area that automatically translates every language that it hears into, well, in this case, it would be Ferengi, because they're Ferengi, but if you're human, it would be English, whatever. And so that no matter what language you run into, as long as it's a language that the Federation recognizes, when you talk to that person, it will come through in their language, and then when they talk to you, you will hear it in yours. And they had that on Deep Space Nine. Same thing that we're talking about here.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Yes, definitely.
I mean,
well,
what about...
Well, it's kind of interesting... Oh, what?
Automatic doors. You know?
That's true, right? Right. I mean, I didn't even put that down on the cheat sheet, but absolutely. Is that Kirk would walk through or walk up to a door and keep on walking because the door would automatically open and close. And I mean, we've had, I wasn't even thinking about that because that's so common nowadays to have an automatic door.
Yeah, but it wasn't always.
Right. You know? Right. Again, back in late 60s, believe me, you'd walk into the door if you tried that. Actually, that,
and,
if you watch some of the spoof reels, you know, William Shatner / Captain Kirk, he had to walk towards the door knowing that it was going to open. He couldn't be hesitating, waiting for the door to open. So, in some of the spoof reels, he walks straight into the door because the crew person didn't open up the door in time.
Yep, that kind of stuff happened all the time.
Yeah.
And now, let's see, what about in the medical field?
Well, the medical field, you know, I think it was City on the Edge of Forever, and it might have even been in a different episode, as McCoy used to talk about the barbaric medical equipment. They still tend to use needles if you need an injection or something, but there are hyposprays nowadays. There are non-needle injections. In other words, there's, I guess it's such a powerful blast of air with the medication, it just kind of goes right through your skin into you. So, that exists.
The table that McCoy, when McCoy would lay you on the table and the table would do a total scan, we have CAT scans now that do that.
Well,
which is what
CAT scans, MRIs, yeah.
MRIs, yep. That McCoy would have all that information would have come up on his diagnostic table. Same thing, basically. We don't have phasers, we don't have warp drives, we don't have transporters. We don't have we do have tricorders. We do have handheld devices that will scan the area. They're not all in one like on Star Trek where the tricorder could do everything, but they do have handheld scanning devices that will scan for radioactivity and as in a Geiger counter. They have handheld devices that will scan for individual things, like a tricorder would do. So that's
well, I'm doing sort of a stretch again here, but the tasers, there's still wires attached to a taser, but actually there are some tasers that you touch the person and it just kind of disrupts their muscle coordination and down they go. Isn't that basically stunning a person?
Yes, I would say so. Absolutely. Absolutely. Just
so,
yeah, there's just so much that you take for granted that you don't think about on a regular basis, like the automatic doors. We almost missed that one completely.
Yeah. It's just amazing. Well, I guess again, you know, if you lived in the 60s, now Saranac Lake was behind the times. When I was a child, we still had an operator that would answer the phone. So I actually remember a phone without a dial because the operator would answer the phone and then you would give them a number. Then came the rotary phone. Then came the push button phones, which were still sort of at push button, but I don't know. It's amazing to see the advancements in even one's lifetime.
Well, let's jump from the 60s through the 80s, through the 90s, through the 20s. Let's jump right up to today. Let's go right to today. Star Trek Discovery and Star Trek Picard, which doesn't come out till next week, but Star Trek, the Kelvin movies, the J.J. movies that we saw with Chris Pine and Zachary Quinto, the bridge of the Discovery and the bridge of the Enterprise from the Kelvin movies, and we saw this in the trailers for Picard, are all touch screens. Like when Tilly's at her station, it's a touch screen. And she slides through the boards with hand motions and can take whatever she's looking at and throw it up on the main screen or send it to Michael Burnham or to Saru. Same thing, Kirk could, Spock could send it over to Uhura or whatever. And that technology that they're using is the same thing that we have today with our laptops and things are now touchscreen just like that.
Right. Exactly. That's another thing, as you say, even on when I was on Deep Space Nine, the panels would, it wasn't that you flipped switches or turned dials or something. It was that you were touching it with your fingers was supposedly how you were flying the spaceship, like the Defiant.
It was all touchscreen.
Right. And I kept blowing up the ship every time I touched it.
You're not allowed to drive the ship anymore, Leslie.
I don't. I swear, every time they put me at a panel, it'd blow up.
You're not allowed. You're forbidden to fly the ship.
Right. I guess I failed the driver's test.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, when you watch Star Trek now, and I think this is one of the things that when they're producing new shows that makes it so tough is because the technology has advanced so much that the things that they used to have, they can't make a show today with phasers. Well, the phasers is not a good example, but there's a lot of things that we have on TOS that they can't have on Star Trek anymore because it's not believable because it's not futuristic anymore. It's reality. And one of the things about Star Trek is Star Trek takes place in the future. And if people are walking around on Star Trek using flip phones, it's not going to be believable anymore because that technology is now behind us and Star Trek takes place ahead of us. So the people that work on Star Trek that come up with, now what would that be? The special effects department, the props department? Who comes up with that stuff? I don't know. But
again, it depends on how it's being used, is which department has to deal with it.
So when they produce a new Star Trek series, it has to be believable to happen in the future. So when the script says, you know, Captain Leslie calls Captain Jim, how does that call happen? It can't be with a communicator because that's 60s technology, that's flip phone technology. So it has to be done in a futuristic way that's still believable. is what I'm saying. They can't use recognizable technology on Star Trek that we currently
right.
have today, or it doesn't work. So was that the art team that would come, you know?
The interesting thing is most likely the writer just says Captain Leslie calls Captain Jim, and then it's left up to either computer special effects or the prop. See, that's what I was saying. If it's an actual prop, then it's the prop department. If it's, I'll call it computer generated, then it's, you know, it's CGI or special, it's that kind of special effects. It would have to be talked out during a production meeting, and the script would have to be broken down, and one department would say no, that or you know this really belongs in our category as opposed to like special effects props.
And that's something else we didn't even talk about yet. When we were talking about holodecks and things like that, we completely skipped over and forgot about CGI. I just, you know, if you remember when Rogue One came out, they actually had a dead actor appear in the movie through CGI. That's kind of a holodeck. I mean, if they can merge CGI and holodeck technology, that's a whole new ball of wax.
Yeah. So in a way, well, like
yeah.
I say, we're right. You know, there's some stuff that is still reserved for making movies and television and not necessarily available to the public. Maybe that's the way it should be said.
Right.
But once it becomes cheap enough, it will be available to the public.
Yeah.
I mean, look what fans are doing on. Fans are making fan films that are way beyond TOS. The technology is in the private computers now.
That's right. We're going to talk with Benny Hall on Thursday, who did a fan film called Let Old Wrinkles Come, which is about Captain Kirk beaming down to a planet to recover a lost communicator, and he runs into a Mugatu. And it's like you could watch that and easily watch that next to a TOS episode and not tell the difference.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, or like I say, it's so advanced to the TOS. It was really, just really quick because we're running out of time here, is that it was kind of funny on one of the Star Trek sites on Facebook. Well, Facebook is even amazing. But anyways, back to, they were saying how hokey the makeup was in these episodes, and they were showing pictures of people that were like saying, well, you know, we talked about this before, is that, you know, original makeup, you had this whole headpiece. It wasn't until John Chambers with Planet, good, we'll get Planet of the Apes in here.
I knew we could do it.
Until the prosthetics were introduced, and that's how we got these aliens. I mean, these wonderful aliens. But before that, it would be a solid headpiece. But even that solid headpiece was at one time considered amazing, that you could create this creature. I mean, well, think about Godzilla. I mean, the guy in this rubber suit? Or the creature from the Black Lagoon?
How about Andy Serkis when he does Gollum in the Lord of the Rings? Or where they wear a suit and they digitize the entire performance and create a character out of thin air to put on your movie screen that looks just like the characters you're watching, yet the character's not real.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, Leslie, the nutty is to me that we are out of time.
Wow.
We did get Planet of the Apes in there.
You bet.
Which is great. Go ahead.
So I looked up real quick. Charlton Heston, Roddy McDowall, and Kim Hunter all have stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
As they should. And I just want to, before we sign off, guys, if you're listening in Ireland, because you guys are such awesome fans there, because the listenership in Ireland has quadrupled in the past 2 weeks, I really want to give away this autographed Lieutenant Arium picture. So somebody from Ireland, one of you guys that's listening, needs to go to the Leslie Hoffman Appreciation Organization Facebook page or Trek Talking and Beyond on Facebook and shoot me a message and say, hey, Uncle Jim, I'm in Ireland and I listen to the show, and I will drop this picture in the mail to you, my way of saying thank you. Actually, I have two pictures. So the first two people that shoot me a message, either at Trek Talking and Beyond or the Leslie Hoffman Appreciation Organization Facebook page, each one of you will get an autographed picture of Lieutenant Arium from Star Trek Discovery, my way of saying thank you. So, Leslie, that's another show come and gone, another hour of Stunt Trek, hard to believe. Where does the time go?
I know. Well, it's so much fun talking about whether it's history, whether it's the future of Star Trek. I enjoy talking about it.
It's a lot of fun to revisit these things and share with fans around the globe. That's what I like the most. Well, I love talking to you, of course.
Ah, well, I always and here we go again. Without the technology, you and I couldn't be talking to each other, and also having all these people listen in.
That's right. People are eavesdropping on our conversation right now. They used to call that a party line back in the day, right?
Oh, party lines! Yeah, I didn't have a party line, but I had a friend who had a party line, and yes, it was that people would pick up the phone. When are you getting off the phone? You know, I need to use the phone.
So technology has changed, some for the better, some for the worse, but next time you watch Star Trek, pay attention to the things you see on Star Trek, because a lot of that stuff you might take for granted in your everyday life, so... I hope we had some fun. I hope we brought some things up with you guys that you didn't think about. And obviously, I'm sure we forgot a lot because we have a lot to cram into a very short time. But we do appreciate you guys listening. And I just want to say thank you to Leslie for hanging out, chatting with me and with you guys tonight. It's always fun to chat with you, Leslie.
Like you say, I enjoy it. We have a great time.
We will be back again next Sunday in honor of Burt Ward. We'll say same bat time, same bat channel next week with another episode of Stunt Trek. Leslie will come up with some ideas. I'll get it posted on the Facebook page so you guys know where to find us. And please head on over to the Leslie Hoffman Appreciation Organization Facebook page. Just say hello. Just shoot a message. Say, hey, I listen to the show. Or just to see what's going on with Leslie. Leslie answers all your messages in person. So if you do go there and drop a message, you will be hearing back from Leslie. We don't have operators standing by. It's live. So if you do go send Leslie a message and you get a response, it will be directly from Leslie herself. So if you want to say hello to Leslie, just go over there and drop her a message. And Leslie usually answers all the messages relatively quick and in person. So head on over there and say hello to Leslie. Head over to Trek Talking and Beyond. Say hello to Uncle Jim, myself, and I'll get back to you in person. So, Leslie, that's it. We're done. We're wrapped up. We're about to get kicked off. So we got to say goodnight now. Everybody, be good to each other, and we'll see you all next week on Stunt Treks. Good night, everybody. Good night, Leslie.
Night. Bye.
Let's see what's out there. Engage.